I'm going to mute you, which means that we won't be able to hear what you're saying, but we'll be able to hear everything that's going on in the meeting.
Okay, Arvin, it's 7:30. So,
Laura, with your permission, and if the board members that are present, if they know how to unmute themselves, actually, you know what? Let me not do that because some board members may have called in. Did any board members just call in and log in on their computers?
Okay. Is Reverend Kenny here? Nope. Mr. Foster?
Yep.
Okay, he's here.
We ready to proceed?
Yes, ma'am.
The Piscataway Town Planning Board will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News. Notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building. Notice made available to the township clerk. Notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mayor Waller?
Here.
Councilwoman Cahill? Ms. Corcoran?
Here.
Ms. Saunders?
Here.
Reverend Kenny? Mr. Espinoza? Mr. Foster?
Present.
And Chatham, Chairperson Smith?
Here.
Okay.
Will everyone recite the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance
to the United States of America,
which is standing
to the Republic, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. Item number five. Is there anyone to swear in?
Yes, Mr. Gottlieb is here.
Do you need to swear me in?
Does anyone need to be sworn in?
Yes, Steve Gottlieb and Betsy Dillon.
Mr. Gottlieb, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I put my video on.
Okay. Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Madam Chairwoman, this is Thomas Barlow, the board attorney.
Yes.
If I may, before we proceed, I just want to place on the record that we're doing this meeting through an online meeting platform in light of the COVID-19 pandemic, in keeping with the guidelines that have been disseminated by the New Jersey Department of Community Affairs. The Planning Board has tried to comply as best as we can, allowing compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act and the governor's guidelines in dealing with the current situation. In addition, the applicant whose matter will be heard this evening had the login information for the online meeting platform put forth in their notice. Members of the public who wish to be heard will be afforded an opportunity as if we were in an actual physical space and all together. And I believe we've done our absolute best to comply with the DCA guidelines and, as I said, the Open Public Meetings Act. Thank you, Madam Chairwoman.
Thank you very much. I believe this is adequate and we'll proceed as if you have met all the requirements.
Thank you.
Item number six on the agenda. Adoption of resolutions to memorialize the meeting.
Okay. Madam Chairman, I'd like to memorialize the application of 19 PV 40 V1, Diaz Properties, for minor subdivision and bulk variance.
If I may, everyone, please identify yourself before you speak so that we have a complete record. If we need to, we're going to need to make a transcript at some point, and it'll be much easier if you just identify who's speaking so that the court reporter or Laura, if she listens to it, will know who's speaking. Should have mentioned that earlier. I apologize.
I'll repeat it. Carol Saunders, I'd like to memorialize application 19 PV 40/41V for Diaz Properties, minor subdivision and bulk variance.
Chairpersons, is there a second?
This is Dawn Corcoran. I'll second that.
Thank you. Buckley, would you give us a roll call, please?
Sure. Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Mr. Foster? And Madam Chair.
Yes. That's approved.
Chairman.
Madam Chair, this is Gabrielle Cahill. Just wanted to let you know I finally logged in.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Laura. This is Dennis. I was able to log in as well.
Okay, so Dennis and Gabby. Thank you.
All right. Ms. Saunders, please proceed.
Okay. Carol Saunders, I'd like to memorialize resolution to amend the redevelopment plan for block 6703, lot 8, also known as 8 Centennial Avenue.
Second.
This is Dawn Corcoran. I'll second that.
Maybe have a roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza? Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair. Yes.
Did we get the last one?
Yes.
Number seven. Ms. Saunders.
Okay. Madam Chairman, this is Carol Saunders. I'd like to memorialize adoption of the minutes from the regular meeting of March 11th. 2020.
There a second.
Dawn Corcoran, yes. I'll second that.
Mayor Waller?
Roll call.
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 8, 20 PB 01. I believe it's postponed until June 10, 2020. No further notice is required. That's item 820 PB 01, New York SMSA Limited Partnership, doing business as Verizon Wireless.
Yes. Adjourned. And Madam Chair, there will be no further notice. They did notice for this meeting.
Okay, thank you. Item number 9. Do I have the correct item number on here?
No, you have the, it's going to be item number 10, Madam Chair.
Okay. 19 PB 10. Trans-Western Development, 1043, is that the number?
Yes, 19 PB 43.
Okay, 43. Trans-Western Development.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Arvin Eitel. I'm an attorney at law, licensed to practice in the state of New Jersey and associated with Bob Smith and Associates. And I represent the applicant this evening, Trans-Western Development. First, I want to thank the township and the staff and officials for taking the time and engaging what can only be described as a Herculean effort to arrange and to attend this historic meeting that's being held in the midst of unprecedented conditions. And that's not just in our country, but throughout the world. As far as we know, this meeting tonight is the first virtual planning board meeting in the entire state of New Jersey.
Wow.
So the board should be well aware that they're making history tonight. I hope that everyone that's attended the meeting tonight, the families, the loved ones, are all doing well. The crisis, I'm prone to some sentimentality, so please forgive me. The fact that the Township of Piscataway is having this meeting is a testament to its leadership. The message today by the Township is quite clear that this is a town that's in the most difficult challenges that it faces head on. This is what the country needs now. It needs innovative and creative leadership and solutions like we have tonight. And I thank you all for attending this evening. This is going to be a fairly straightforward application and presentation. Just keeping matters before we get started, however, if I can confirm with the attorney that does, in fact, have jurisdiction over this application this evening by the DCA guidelines and the notice and publication.
This is Thomas Barlow, the board attorney. I've reviewed the affidavit of service. I believe we have complied with both the DCA guidelines and the Open Public Meetings Act. And Arvin, you're to be complimented also for the effort you went through to make this possible for your client. So we also thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, this is Arvin Itall again. Madam Chair, in the notice and as well as the publication, we're invited to review plans and the application. We're provided with my phone number, direct extension, so they could call to make arrangements to view it in a secure room that would allow them not only privacy, but also in this day and age at least, the security that they needed, that they would not be in an area that would be in proximity to other individuals. As an officer of the court, I would like to put on the record that I did not receive any phone calls from any individuals to look at the documents that were on the file. In this matter, there are four staff reports also and professional reports that we'll be relying upon. We have objections to those reports, obviously being part of the record as they are. We have the February 20th Dolan and Dean report. We have the March 11th, 2020 DNR engineering report. We have the February 25th CME Associates Planning Report. And finally, we have a revised staff report that was dated today, April the 8th, 2020. As I said earlier, this is going to be a fairly straightforward application. And what I'd like to do is direct attention to those individuals that are watching online. Their screen will have a screen sharing operation where you'll be able to see the plans that have been already introduced to the board members by way of the application itself. We met with the municipal land use laws regulations that all plans be at least 10 days prior and be available for public inspection, which they have been. We are not going to have any exhibits or any introduction to any documents or other evidence that was not already made available to the public at least 2 days prior as required by law. We'll just have one witness this evening. And that witness will wear two hats. Josh Seawald is our engineer and our planner. But if the board members or members of the public who are listening in today have any specific questions that Josh cannot answer, and I can't answer, we have in attendance tonight other expert witnesses from our development team that are available. They can certainly chime in as necessary. So, Madam Chair, with your permission, what I'd like to do is I would like to call our first witness, most likely our own witness this evening, Josh Seawald. Let me just make sure that I can pass the baton to him.
Okay, you may call him.
Josh, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Josh, what I'm going to do is transfer the ball to you.
Okay.
Doc, can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth? Carol Thomas.
I do.
Thank you. Can you please state your name for the record?
Certainly. My name is Josh Seawald, and I'm from Dynamic Engineering Consultants.
Thank you.
And Josh, for some reason, the ball just disappeared on me, so let me just see if I can't transfer it. You don't have screen sharing yet, do you?
I do not yet.
Scroll down quite a bit to get to you. I'm going to transfer the ball to you, Josh. Madam Chair, I apologize. Our witness being sworn in, if I could just begin our direct examination.
Oh, sure. Go right ahead.
Josh, first, you've got the ball to be the presentation person here. As I can see, you've got control of the screen. The board members, if you would, the benefit of your credentials, and you're here tonight as both the planner and as the engineer for the project. Is that correct?
That is correct. Again, everybody, good evening. This is Josh Seawald from Dynamic Engineering. A quick run through my qualifications. I have a Bachelor's of Science in Civil Engineering from Temple University, a Master's of Science in Civil Engineering from Rutgers University. I'm a licensed professional engineer as well as a professional planner in the state of New Jersey. I've been accepted as an expert before over 90 land use boards, and I was previously qualified at the January 8th Piscataway Planning Board hearing for the Lori L. Project.
You may proceed as an expert.
Thank you very much.
Josh, this is Arvin again. You're familiar with the application before the board this evening, is that correct?
That is correct.
You're also familiar with both the site and the plans and documents that have been submitted in support of the application, is that correct?
That is correct.
Rather than sort of take this one by one, why don't I turn the ball over to you and tell us, first of all, a little bit of the overview of the existing condition of the site and what we're proposing it doing on that site. And I'm going to put myself on mute. And I would encourage those folks that are not going to be
Arvin.
I think Arvin went mute too soon.
I did. I apologize. I said those people that are not participating, just so that we could hear Josh well. If you could just put yourself on mute temporarily, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Again, Josh Seawald from Dynamic Engineering. Just to make sure that everybody is looking at the correct exhibit, the screen that is currently being shared with you this evening is the full civil drawing package that has been submitted to the board and the public. The front sheet is just the cover sheet, and I'm going to move right along to sheet two. This is the aerial map. I discussed the existing conditions of the overall property. Before you right now, and you can even see my cursor a little bit, the bold white line outlines the property in question that we will be discussing. It is formerly block 4701, lot 505. The address is 330 South Randolphville Road. It's approximately 16.1 acres. And as you can see, it is uniquely shaped. Our surrounding area, we have Interstate 287 to the north of us, running in the east-westbound direction. To the east of us, we have South Randolphville Road. To the south of us is our neighbor, Robert A. Warehouse, and then beyond that is Colonial Drive. Further to the west is a pocket of wetlands, and then additional industrial warehouse uses, and beyond that is New England Avenue. The property overall today has 146,000 square foot existing warehouse building. There's a small parking area along South Randolphville Road and a very large parking area in the rear, currently not utilized, which we will focus on shortly when we talk about our proposed development. South Randolphville Road currently has an access driveway that allows right in, right out, and left in maneuvers. Left out maneuvers to get to the Angel 287 is currently restricted. We also have access to Colonial Drive, which we have through a shared access agreement through our neighbor to the south. Finally, the current property is basically fully developed, serviced currently with all existing utilities, water, sanitary sewer. There is some stormwater management conveyance systems on site, and there is current electric and gas. Generally, the property slopes from the north along I-287 and south towards Colonial Drive. And as I mentioned a few moments ago, there is a pocket of wetlands that hugs the western portion of the site and wraps around to the north, kind of where the existing vegetation is that shows on sheet two. Moving right along, I will skip over page three, that is our demolition plan, and we'll move right on to sheet four. Sheet four is the site plan. The site plan is showing still the existing warehouse building. On the right column, you see all of our zoning notes. And then a little bit more zoomed in version of the plan, you see the off-ramp from 287, just to orient the board and everything they're looking at on their screen. And running in the north-south direction is South Randolphville Road. So to start to summarize what we're looking to do on the property as part of our proposed development, we are seeking preliminary and final site plan approval for a brand new 151,700 square foot warehouse building. It includes approximately 3,000 square feet of interior office space. The building will be 44 feet tall. It has single side loading docks on the eastern facade. And the site has been designed to provide no variances. This warehouse will be constructed on spec, meaning we don't currently have a tenant, but we hope that during construction or shortly thereafter we will have one. The full intention is to keep the existing building the same as shown on the site plan. The property is located within a redevelopment plan area dated November 1st, 2019 by CME Associates. Warehouses are permitted use, so as Arvin and the board attorney discussed earlier, that the planning board has jurisdiction over this application. As I mentioned a few moments ago, development currently complies with all bulk standards of the development plan. What that means is not only does the existing building, but the new building complies with building coverage, impervious coverage, all setback standards for the front, side, and rear yard, as well as parking and loading spaces. We are currently providing 90 parking spaces to service both facilities. Again, that is compliant. And we have approximately 70 loading spaces, which is also compliant with the underlying redevelopment plan. Access to South Randolphville Road will remain the same, although we have made some improvements to widen that driveway for some truck maneuvers and safety maneuvers. The access points are still the same. We will have a right in, a right out, and we'll also allow left ins. That left out will still be restricted on South Randolphville Road. Moving further along, the access to Colonial Drive will also remain the same, that we will allow trucks to exit that way to get to Colonial Drive so that they can get back to the signalized intersection and then head back onto 287. The site plan provides two electric vehicle charging spaces. The property has been designed overall to meet similar grading and drainage patterns. All new utilities will be brought to the building, sanitary sewer, stormwater management, natural gas and electric will power the new facility. We do have two underground detention basins as well as a manufactured treatment device to make sure we comply with water quality standards. Finally, there is significant landscaping, which I do have another sheet to show you shortly, as well as some lighting to illuminate the overall property. I just want to very quickly go over to sheet seven, which will show you the landscaping. We have 29 shade trees, 11 ornamental trees, 51 evergreen trees, and over 400 additional plantings to supplement overall today what is an existing parking lot in the back of this warehouse.
Josh, if I could just stop you for 1 second. This is Arvin again.
Certainly.
To the board members and members of the public that are watching, if these plans themselves, if you want to enlarge them, upper left-hand side, there is a control under view, which you can have as a full screen, and that will allow you to see a little bit clearer having some problems. To escape that, you can always just hit the ESC button on your keyboard. Sorry for that technical interruption.
No problem at all, Arvin. Again, Josh from Dynamic Engineering. The last plan that I will show you before I get into some of the two of the design waivers of the redevelopment plan and before I put on my planning hat, the last sheet I will reference is sheet 8. This is the lighting plan. This shows the 9 LED area light poles as well as the 24 wall-mounted LED fixtures. These will be spread throughout the loading dock area and accessized to illuminate the new proposed development that we have. In summary, as you can see, back to sheet 4 of the site plan. The warehouse is an approved use within the redevelopment plan. It does comply with parking and loading standards, and we do comply with all the underlying bulk standards for impervious coverage as well as building coverage. I think it's a significant improvement for landscaping and, of course, an improvement from stormwater management, since out there today there is none. And I believe, Arvin, please correct me if I'm wrong, we can pause there, see if there's any questions from an engineering standpoint before I take my engineering hat off and put on my planning hat.
Does the board have any questions for Mr. Seawald on this?
Thomas Barlow, the board attorney. Mr. Seawald, quick question. If my calculations are correct, you have an excess of parking. Looks like you would need about 75 and you have 90. So if my numbers are right, you can accommodate approximately 6,000 square feet of ancillary office space, correct?
That is accurate.
Okay.
Any other questions from the board?
Madam Chair?
This is Ken.
Go ahead.
Madam Chair, this is Councilwoman Cahill.
Go ahead.
Hi. A quick question with regard to the lighting that you mentioned. Do you have the information as to how much more of that light spillage than the 0.1, which is part of the ordinance, that those lights will have?
Certainly. And I believe I was going to talk briefly on that because we do have a design waiver for that standard from the redevelopment plan. Right now I'm referencing sheet 8. Your screen should be zooming in currently. Mm-hmm. As you can see, there's this bold line. We call that an isolix line. That line follows the 0.5 foot candle, which is an average blend of the illumination from the various lights that are proposed on the site. And you can see a grid pattern that shows the illumination. Right along this property line here, we have a range of 0.5, the highest goes to 0.9, and then it drops to 0.1 at the property line. Part of my planning justification, not to steal from my thunder shortly, will be the fact that our neighbor to the south, the Robert A. Flavors Warehouse Facility, also has a parking area with existing light poles, which is what the symbol is right here. If you were to model those items, because they're so close to our property line, there would actually be a spillover of illumination onto ours as well. So in reality, this will actually end up being a little bit brighter there, but that's okay because we are in an industrial development and we want to make sure our access aisles are illuminated well for safety and traffic maneuvers. So this slight increase over the 0.1 foot candle to our industrial neighbor to the south, I believe is okay and does not have a detriment because our neighbor to the south also has lights and a parking area very close to our property line. Finally, all the lights really have been proposed away from our neighbor's property line. As you can see, we only have one area light pole in the southwestern corner of our property. The rest of this building and access aisle is illuminated by wall packs, and then the very next area light pole you get to is by our existing facility. So that's a quick summary on the lighting plan.
Thank you very much.
Are there any other questions from the board?
Madam Chair, this is Steve Gottlieb. Question for Josh. Does the landscape plan reflect the review letter of Mr. Hinterstein that was just sent out?
Yes and no. There are some items that we can certainly address. Mr. Hinterstein's review letter just to put it on the record, which is dated, I believe, April 8th. We received it earlier today. Out of his comments, we can address all of them, Mr. Gottlieb, except for two. Items 8 and 9 ask for additional trees along the western area. The western area is actually protected by freshwater wetlands regulations and transition area waiver regulations. So we provided as many trees and shrubs as we could over here. I'd be happy to testify that should there be a certain number of trees that that Henry is looking for, we can supplement them through other non-protected areas on the property. But from the point of his review letter, the only item that we cannot comply with is 8 and 9, and that is, again, along the western property line where it is protected by the DEP.
Okay, thank you. If I may, I have just one more question for you regarding the lighting. There was a discrepancy regarding the height of the lighting. In one place it said that the light fixtures were 28 feet in height. In another location it said that they were 25 feet in height. 25 foot height is the maximum.
That is correct. We revised the plans from revision, again, Josh, sorry, from Dynamic Engineering. We revised the plans from Rev 1 to Rev 2. Plans that are currently on your screen and before the public record is Rev 2. I'm zooming in right now on the lighting plan that shows that we revised the light plan, Steve, and we brought those light fixtures down to be in compliance with 25 feet. So all fixtures on site, area light poles in the parking and loading area, as well as the wall packs on the building, are all mounted at 25 feet or lower, which is compliant with the underlying redevelopment plan, and I actually believe removes a waiver from the overall application.
This is Tom.
Thank you, Josh.
This is the board attorney, Thomas Barlow. So, Josh, just to be clear, the only two waivers that the applicant is seeking are the shade trees in that western area, which you identified as the wetlands, but you're willing to work with Mr. Hinterstein to put them elsewhere or to work with his office, and then the on-light spillage in those two abutting areas to the south. Those are the only waivers the applicant is seeking, correct?
That is correct, Mr. Barlow.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Madam Chair, if I may, Dawn Corcoran. Josh,
yes,
can you
Dawn.
Just confirm the number of electric vehicle charging stations that you're proposing?
Certainly. Our plans currently show two, which I believe is in compliance with the underlying ordinance. I think it's one per 50 spaces. Mm-hmm. We have 90 parking spaces, so we propose two.
Are you proposing any truck charging stations?
Madam
Chair,
ahead, Arvin.
If I may, okay, Josh, this is Arvin. Ms. Corcoran, if I can address that, I understand in speaking with the professional staff that there is a recommendation that additional charging stations be put in. I can represent that if that is made a condition of the approval, I would understand that. But at this point, we're not proposing any additional electric charging stations. And certainly the board's prerogative is if they desire to make that a condition of the approval, they could certainly do that.
Correct. Okay, because the town's been obviously very proactive with this item. We have an ordinance in place that does, in fact, requirement. As you said, you do meet that requirement. However, the reason I was asking was that, yes, the staff is recommending that in addition to the two car charging stations, that the two additional truck charging stations also be provided. But certainly, you know, the other board members can provide some input on that as well.
Madam Chair, if I may, Councilwoman Cahill.
Go ahead, Ms. Councilwoman Cahill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am very much in agreement with Ms. Corker's analysis on, although that you've met certainly the ordinance, it would be probably a really great idea to add those if the applicant has the capacity to do so.
Madam Chair, this is Arvin Itall. Again, attorney for the applicant. As I indicated earlier, if the board's wishes are that they wish to impose a condition that we put in additional truck electrical charging stations, that Josh has indicated, or might indicate, based thunder, that we might be able to accommodate them. But we would ask that if there is going to be that recommendation, that it be a condition of the approval if the board is inclined to, that the board make that recommendation.
Any other board members have any comments or questions on this portion of testimony? Okay, let's open it to the public. Arvin, how do you want to do that?
Madam Chair, I think just so that we can avoid a rush of people, I know that if there are people that want to ask questions, they can jump right in, but I would like to, with your permission, mute all the microphones, and then the individuals, as they wanted to speak, and unmute, and then that sort of have the effect of slowing down the rush for folks to participate all at once. So with your permission, if I may.
Yes, don't proceed as you suggested.
As long as everybody can chime in, comment as they wish.
And members of the public should be aware that both as the call-in and if they're online, there is an icon next to their name or in the bottom, the lower quarter of their screen, there are eight icons that appear. First icon on the left is an unmute icon or mute icon. So if you want to hit that, you can mute it. And then I guess this is a virtual queue-up in order to participate in the public. And Mr. Barlow, as you've indicated, everyone will have an opportunity to be heard. We're just trying to, by muting everyone, make sure that it's more orderly. So with your permission, I'm going to mute everyone now. And Ms. Saunders has been unmuted as well.
Yes, how do they know who goes first, Arvin?
Well, as with an actual meeting in person, Ms. Saunders would ask if anyone has any comments, and they can unmute and be first to speak if they'd like to.
That will be Brenda.
I'm sorry, Ms. Smith, you're unmuted. I apologize.
It's okay. Does anyone in the public wish to come forward? Please unmute and state your name and address. Anyone from the public wishing to comment at this point in the testimony?
And Madam Chair, it does not appear that anyone from the public has unmuted, but just to make sure that there isn't a technical glitch, with your permission, what I would like to do is I would like to unmute all participants, and if they weren't heard before, they will now be heard. May I do,
okay. Do that? Let's try that. Someone has been heard from.
Is there anyone from the public that would like to speak?
Nope.
Aw. Mr. Arthur, I think we need to the your next witness.
Our next witness, thank you, Madam Chair. This is Arvin Itall again. Our next witness will continue. Mr. Seawald will continue wearing his hat as a planner. And before he starts, if I may, with his permission, with your permission, I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I get it. Members of the public who were unmuted and maybe had muted devices prior to my taking control and unmuting everyone, go ahead and mute your device again. As much as we'd love to hear your children, it'll be a little bit easier for us to hear if you're muted. Madam Chair, if I may have our witness, Mr. Seawald, continue the testimony as a planner.
Yes, he's sworn in already. He needs no further swearing in. May proceed. Would he like to give his credentials as a planner?
They're the same, but thank you.
All right, fine.
Arvin, would it be, before we begin, would it be easier if you muted? I see a lot of callers are so unmuted.
I am. I'm going through and muting individuals that I know not to be members of the board.
Sounds good. Would you like me to proceed at this very time?
Please.
Okay. So I will discuss basically from the planning perspective the project overall. I will touch on the redevelopment plan, how again we comply, the underlying development meets those goals and objectives. Additionally, I will touch on the master plan, last updated in 2005. And finally, I will discuss the two design waivers that is associated with the project. So as we were mentioning before, the overall project is the proposed warehouse, and it is a permitted use within the redevelopment plan, the underlying zoning. We do comply with the goals and objectives of the redevelopment plan, which are as follows. We establish the land use and bulk requirements specific to the redevelopment area, which maximizes the development potential of the property while maintaining and remaining sensitive to the surrounding context. I think it's evident from prior testimony during the engineering portion that the property is surrounded by industrial and warehouse zones, as well as industrial warehouse uses. As further, we are surrounded by Interstate 287, and we have no impact to sensitive zones such as residential or maybe even commercial tenants. The next goal and objective I believe that we meet is to encourage redevelopment, which maximizes productivity of vacant land. As I mentioned during our existing conditions testimony, property is underutilized in the rear, where there's a very large paved parking lot that is not being utilized, and that's essentially where our proposed warehouse and loading areas will be put today. So no new land area such as virgin and undeveloped forested area will be a part of this overall project. It is the revitalization and utilization of an existing paved parking area. Third goal and objective would be for providing a modern industrial warehouse use within a development area, and we are doing that with this spec facility. Lastly, is the increase of tax ratables within the township that is listed specifically in the redevelopment area, a redevelopment plan, I should say, as a goal and objective. The 2005 master plan, the two specific items that I just want to focus on is we are providing sufficient space in regards to the industrial uses, and we meet the that will respect the environmental considerations, aka the wetlands that are to the north and west of us. And the second item I'd like to focus on in regards to the master plan from 2005 is to provide the energy and efficient land use development and circulation. It kind of touches on what we were just discussing from the redevelopment plan, and that is kind of the revitalization of an underutilized, already paved parking area. The site today, although is functioning fine for the existing warehouse, now will be improved with various landscaping, LED efficient lighting, as well as a huge stormwater management improvement, which will not only improve the runoff rates, as well as the water quality coming off the property. So overall, the redevelopment of this paved parking area will be an improvement from the post-development condition versus what's out there today. So in summary, I think it's an overall positive and benefit from a planning standpoint related to the redevelopment plan and master plan of 2005. What I'd like to touch on, which I think we've discussed a few times this evening, are the two design waivers that we have from the redevelopment plan. The first is as follows. Deciduous shade trees shall be provided within or immediately surrounding all off-street parking areas at a ratio of one tree per 1,000 square feet and must be identified within 10 feet of a drive aisle. I'm going to quickly reference sheet 7, which is our landscaping plan. And what we were discussing earlier during engineering testimony is that our development is goes right up to the existing edge of pavement of the parking lot today. And the additional area beyond that is already protected freshwater wetlands. So there is no room to provide and meet exactly the intent of the redevelopment plan, which is why we needed the sign waiver. However, as testified earlier, there are over 400 new plantings provided and surrounding the overall new development. So I believe we meet the intent of the redevelopment plan to ensure that we meet aesthetics as well as the number of trees and shrubs throughout the property. That would be an overall enhancement from what's out there today to what will be done after construction. As I further testified earlier, any additional plantings that Mr. Hinterstein is looking for to maybe try to address even further that design waiver request can be provided through the property in the areas that is not currently landscaped. The second design waiver is in regards to the following. Spillage from on-site lighting shall be no more than 0.1 foot candle at any property line, with the exception of site access locations. When access drives or parking areas that are less than 10 feet from a property line, the maximum light spillage may be 1 foot candle. Since in our situation, I will refer to again sheet 8, which is the lighting plan, and zoom in to where our design waiver request lies. It is in regards to this access drive, as well as the foot candle illumination at the property line. As testified to earlier from an engineering standpoint, the plans were designed to try to comply with this item as best as possible. As you can see, however, the access drive is very close to the property line, along with our neighbor whose parking area and access drive are also close to our property line. 0.1 foot candle follows the majority of the line, and we do comply with the fact that our driveway allows 1 point foot candle illumination, but there are some areas that are slightly overdone. The planning and engineering justification are similar, though. There's no detriment to providing grant this waiver, in my opinion, because our neighbor to the south also has area light poles that illuminate and will blend with the very small and de minimis increase in the couple foot candles that are there. The rest of the site, in my opinion, does comply and will provide an overall benefit in lighting due to the LED efficiency. So in summary, I believe that the overall project has been designed to meet 98% of the underlying redevelopment plan, master plan, and the state development and redevelopment plan. And I believe that the two design waivers are de minimis and hopefully can be supported from the Piscataway Planning Board, as it does not have a detriment to the underlying redevelopment plan, master plan, or surrounding property.
Thank you, Josh. Madam Chair, that concludes our testimony for this evening. If the board members have any questions of Mr. Seawald as a planner, certainly if the members of the public have any additional questions, we're open to that at this point.
Okay, board members, anyone having questions for the planning portion of this testimony?
Madam Chair, I'm sorry. This is Arvin Itall again.
Yes.
Let me follow up on 2 points. First is that there was a staff report that was dated 4-8. Yes. Josh, I'd make sure we did, in fact, cover building finished, did we not?
Arvin, Josh, from Dynamics. I did not touch on that. Thank you for the friendly reminder. As I mentioned, the building is being proposed as speculative, meaning that the developer and applicant, Transwestern ARCO, do not have a tenant at the time. However, it is their intent to provide a building that will have white, gray, and some blue features to the facade features of the building.
And one of the comments that Mr. Hinterstein had in his report was that he did not see anything on the plans to show trash compactors or any kind of dumpster enclosures. And he wanted us to opine about that. If you could just clarify that point, please.
Certainly, and I'm going to zoom in on sheet 4 again, the site plan. I know it's probably difficult due to the size of the property, but we do provide two trash compactors, which is typical for an industrial development, to be located within the loading dock areas. So I do believe we provide an adequate trash facility for each facility.
And finally, Mr. Hinterstein also that he wanted the Title 39 agreement from the applicant regarding all signage, and we would certainly comply with that requirement. And I'm sorry, Madam Chair, for interrupting, but if the board members have any questions at this point.
Okay. Open to the board members who may have questions. Does anyone have any questions regarding this portion of Mr. Seawald's testimony? Okay, I think we should open it up to the public then, since we haven't gotten any comments from the board.
Madam Chair, if I may, this is Arvin Eitel again. As we did before, although I think that everyone sort of knows how to unmute, since many of these folks did in fact mute, if you were to open it up to the public, the individuals could queue up by unmuting and speaking.
Okay, officially open to the public for comments, for questions. Anyone in the public wishing to come forward at this time, you may do so.
Madam Chair, this is Arvin Eitel again. As we did before, with your permission, if I may unmute all participants in case they just did not unmute before or did not have enough time, with your permission.
I agree. I permit you to do so.
Madam Chair, all of the members of the meeting, all the participants have been unmuted. Madam Chair, seeing that there are no participants,
I hear no feedback from the public. We may then close those microphones and proceed. If you have a summary you would like to put forth.
Madam Chair, as we'd indicated earlier, this is a redevelopment zone, and we, but for design waivers that we're seeking, we're complying with all of the requirements, the bulk standard for that zone. Essentially, and this is to put this into my own words, we've got a large parking lot next to an existing warehouse facility. We're taking that field and we're putting in that property so it is in fact developable within the same envelope, essentially, in terms of impervious coverage as what it is for. I think this is a wonderful opportunity to use land that would otherwise just be an open, empty parking field for productive use. As I indicated earlier, we do comply with all the bulk standards, but for the two design waivers. And one of those, we certainly explained in terms of the plantings, why we couldn't plant along the protected area on the western property line area. And lighting would be a de minimis waiver requirement since we do abut another industrial property. I would ask that the board look at this application favorably, and I understand that the board members have expressed an interest in having truck charging stations. Certainly, if the board members were to consider this favorably, they wish to add that as a condition of the approval, that is certainly the prerogative of the board.
Thank you, Mr. Eitel. To the board, would anyone like to make a motion as to whether this application should be approved, giving consideration to as to whether the two waivers are acceptable, and to whether you would suggest that an additional, the two additional stations be added as a condition of this approval?
Can't hear you.
Okay, I'm asking the board if they would like to put forth a motion on this application and indicate whether or not the two waiver requests are sufficient and meet the standards of the redevelopment request, redevelopment report, and whether or not we should, as a condition of the approval, two additional stations for trucks.
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran.
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve this application subject to the staff report, the CME report, Dolan and Dean report, and the engineer's report. I'd also like to make a recommendation that the applicant be required to install the two additional truck electric charging stations.
This is Tom Barlow. Ms. Corcoran, are you also suggesting that the two design waivers can be granted?
That's correct.
Do I hear a second?
I second that. Mike Foster, I second that.
Thanks, Laura.
May we have, this is for approval, would you have the roll call, please?
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
I went out of line. Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Your approval is granted.
Thank you so much.
Madam Chairwoman, if I may, this is Tom Barlow, Board Attorney. In light of the fact that this straightforward application compliance with the previously adopted redevelopment plan with no variances, I believe it would be appropriate to memorialize the resolution with the two design waivers and the truck charging stations as a condition of approval.
Do we have the charging station resolution? We have the planning your preliminary and final site plan resolution. Would you proceed, Ms. Saunders?
Hold on, I'm looking for it in my pad. Madam Chair, would I like to memorialize the application number 19PB43 for Transwestern Development for preliminary and final site plan.
Do we have a second?
Second it, Mike Foster, I second it.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Or catch up.
Ms. Saunders?
Mike went out.
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza? Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Approved.
Resolution has been approved.
All right, cool.
With that,
pay the bills.
We have completed our agenda.
Pay the bills.
Is there a motion on here to pay the bills?
Motion.
Motion. Motion to pay the bills.
Councilwoman Cahill, motion.
And it's seconded. Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza? Is he even here? Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay. Motion to adjourn. Yeah.
Yes.
What do we have problems once Arvin checked out?
But we made it just in time before.
No, I'm still here.
Okay. Motion to adjourn.
Good job, everybody. For such a historic occasion.
Well done. Everybody be commended.
Yeah, everybody did a great job.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night. Oh, I'm just hanging this up. There's too many beeps. Hang up.